it's time to start buying real estate again.
How are we going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs?
Shut it up, man.
I am your
leader. You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
Where are national leaders?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio, and you can listen from anywhere in the USA or anywhere in the world by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Later today, we will have a rebroadcast put up on the internet site, and you can click on the Listen Anytime link. And as always, we send it out to our friends and supporters that have signed up to be on our e-list. We have thousands of great people. I thank you for spreading the word. We welcome more and more of you to get involved. Also, I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to our panel members, Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, National Small Business Advocate, also Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology Integration, and a radio host as well as Mark Andel. Also, thanks to our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. Mr. Logis is on a special assignment today, so he will not be with us. And I'm Michael Blihash, welcoming you to another edition of American Workers Radio. I want to say thank you to the many faithful people that I meet in our various events, in my travels, who stop and tell me that they are going out of their way to display their flag in front of the house. They're going out of their way to look at the labels where they shop, because really, this is what it's all about. If we don't support one another, we can't expect others to support us. Also, there are a number of rules and regulations that all of us have to live by. And I'm sure that everyone would agree that all of us have to make choices in our life. We have to obey the rules. If you want a job, you have to obey the rules of the workplace and also the employer. If you want to be a teacher, you teach the subjects that you're hired to teach. If you're hired to be an electrician, you can't expect to be a lifeguard at a swimming pool. And I think it's time for every American to join together to promote America as the greatest country on earth, because it really is. I always tell people in my travels, the people that I meet, and on all of my radio broadcasts, that America is the greatest country on earth. We have all rules that we have to obey. I'm saying that because if you drive a car, you have to obey the rules. I'm sure you'll agree with that, Mark and Larkin and Henry and everyone listening. Stop says the red light. Go says the green, wait says the yellow light, which is flashing in between. And I would be honest about saying, I think that our national leaders have been stuck on red for a long, long time. They just don't do anything to help America. It's like they caused this accident to happen in our country. As Mark says so often, it's a 30-year mistake. It's hurt everybody. And we want to change. And we've been seeing some major change happening in the country. And I feel also that we have to do something about the immigration issue in America as well. We are spending so much time and so much money. Mark, Larkin, Henry, and most of our listeners, your parents or grandparents came to this country through the legal process. And that's all we want. We want people to come to America. Yes, we welcome immigrants. We're looking for many of the immigrants to come to America to fill various types of jobs. However, we also want the people coming to America to obey the law. And that's the biggest thing, obeying the law so that people can be part of the American way. And what's the American way? Being a parent, being a grandparent, owning a home, being part of the working class of the United States, and all of us are the working class that are out there. And the thing is, once you're part of the working class, you'll be paying taxes, you'll be adding to the economy, you'll be deserving of the services that you receive. With the people coming over to America, naturally, they're coming here because they're hurt in their country. They don't have jobs. They don't have security. They don't have protection. However, I think we have to look and see what the real issue is. How do we allow people to come to America that we need to be here? And when they come to this country, what are they going to do to add to America? Are they going to come and be supported by a foundation, a church group, or whatever? Are they going to come and be on the taxpayers' payroll? That's something that we can't have. Mark, as a person who's in business, I'm sure you can't hire people unless they're legal. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, and I agree with you. Welcome, Mike, and listeners, and Larkin. I know Rich is off, and Henry, thank you for having me on again. Again, I think we make change every week. Last week was a great show, Mike. This is a great topic. My father's father was from Greece. My mother's, my grandmother was from Germany. They come to the melting pot here in America, and I'm told there's only few countries that do what we do, allow these other people. Most block them at the borders, but I've got a handbook for my company, Mike, and there's rules in that you have to, first you interview, then if I accept them and we want to give it a shot, they accept my rules and they sign off on it. And if they don't abide by wearing the steel toes, doing this, doing that, getting here on time and dressing properly, wearing the right personal protective equipment and things like that, then they can't work here. So I think... yes, I only hire legal, citizens. I have a friend that went the hard way to become a citizen here, and it's very, it's difficult, but it's not undoable. But he gets mad when the people sneak around the system. So I think borders have to be protected. I think we have to screen the people coming in, and they have to contribute to our country.
I agree. Successful. Larkin, what do you have to say?
Well, good morning, everybody. Michael, I'm baffled, continually baffled when it comes to immigration. I'm not exactly sure what the left is saying. It just floats over my head. There is a rule of law that if you want to come to America, come up, knock on the door, and apply. Get a green card. Come on in. We'd love to have you. And we truly would. And if you talk to any and all small business people, and the restaurant industry is absolutely dependent on new Americans because none of the old Americans.
And Larkin, they work very hard.
They work hard as hell, Mark. You're 100% right.
I hear that more and more. They're hard working.
I had probably eight Mexican nationals working for me. I got out of that business and sold it when Obama announced that in order to get immigration under control, he was going to start arresting the businesses that were hiring people. Well, we hired them to run our car wash and our service station, but they had to present, obviously, the correct papers, and we put them on file, but you can't help but really kind of know that the papers are fraudulent. The only way I could find out is spend a couple hours on each one investigating to find. I didn't have the time for that. But as soon as Obama said he was going to start throwing the employers in jail, my partner and I looked at each other, and we were out of that thing in 10 days, simply because there is a rule of law. Do this, you're fine. Do this, and you're under indictment. You're going to be arrested and thrown in jail. We can't have a borderless country. And only fools suggest that. Only a fool would suggest that all you have to do is come up, and if you can get over that fence, you're an American.
You're right.
So I don't understand the other side. I really don't.
You know, you're right. And the sad part of it is many of the people that come and visit the cultural center, many of them have this as a big concern because some of the towns where the businesses were located before the businesses left America and these immigrants were coming, it wasn't so bad because they at least had some jobs. But as the businesses left America and the immigrants still came, there was no jobs for them. So immediately they had to go on the public's dole, which is where this battle is now coming up, because the American people, as Larkin said before on another broadcast, people in America, our youth, go to bed every day hungry. How can we bring more people to America when our own American children, many of them, go to bed hungry?
25% to 28%. And it just baffles me.
Yeah, and that's a huge, Larkin, you brought that up last week, unbelievable people are starving in America. But also the drugs, guys, and I've always bothered me, these kids that are hooked on the drugs and the dealers that push the drugs get the kids hooked and they got catches in these drugs you can't get off. That's another thing has to be controlled coming into this country.
Yes, in fact, there's another issue, Mark. Those people that are on any type of a drug situation, I believe they should be sent to a job training program, a very intensive job training program where they can be helped to get off of this substance abuse. There's so much substance abuse going on in America. That's all you hear on the television anymore. This training program, that training program, you got to have Narcan, you have all this, but there's no solution to get the people into some kind of a job, get them into some kind of a long-term rehab program where they're not going to be just at a rehab program. They're going to have something productive at the end of it.
And guys, I've seen it firsthand in my shop, a great kid that gets on heroin and it was been off a year or two and then pops back on. So you want to stop the trafficking of drugs into this country for sure. So Larkin, like you said, you can't have a borderless country. You got to stop this. You got to control it.
Yeah, everything has rules and regulations. The train comes at 10 o'clock in the morning at any given station, and you have to move back at least a foot so the train doesn't, you know, bump into you. Well, we know those rules. There's a yellow line on the station. We go to the red light. It stops. You know, it says stop, and go says green, and yellow says wait. What don't these people who are coming to this country or the people complaining in all these protests understand that? You have to vet every person coming into the country. Not doing that has brought us all the drug problems, all the crime problems, all the murder problems.
You
a
know,
lot of them.
Michael, to our fortune, we have Bruce Bassett Powell on the line. And Bruce was born in Britain, is an American, as American as anybody I know. And he has a very kind of refreshing outlook on the whole immigration issue. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, and welcome, Bruce. Good to hear from you again.
Well, I'm thankful that I'm able to be on. It's getting close to 100 degrees already here today. We had 111 here on, Friday, Tuesday.
Wow.
So it's hot city, and I guess you're getting floods, we're getting heat, and we're all trying to survive. Anyway,
exactly. Bruce, we're talking about the immigration issue because this is on the minds of everybody. Some people who don't understand the fact that we have to have rules and regulations continue to complain.
Well, when I came over here, which was over 40 years ago, I was living in England. I just got back there when I got the job offer over here, and I went through the process of getting my green card in the UK through the US Embassy. I arrived at the airport with my green card in hand. And I thought that was the best way to do it. I didn't come over here, you know, on a different visa and play games and, that kind of thing, although it was somewhat legal then. But I feel that I did the thing the right way.
And that's really what should be happening right now.
What's happened is that the situation at the border and the situation on immigration has been ignored for so long that it's got out of hand now, and dealing with it out of hand creates problem. I completely agree. I couldn't not agree that everybody has to obey the law. We need a system to deal with the people that are already here that we've ignored for so long. A situation that we've ignored for so long. And we need to deal with refugees, true refugees that are coming here. And we need a system to deal with that. And, the people that come here illegally need to be deported immediately. If they're neither refugees seeking asylum for any kind or got the right paperwork, then they should be expelled. They're being expelled from everywhere else in the world. Why not from here?
Well, you're right. They are. And the people in other countries have obeyed the rules of coming in. However, if you see in certain countries when the leaders allowed everybody to come in carte blanche, look at the problems that they've been having. They don't know what to do with the people. Even in Germany, a million refugees went there over like a seven-month period.
Well, now, that's not to do with normal immigration. That's to do with failed states and collapse of society in other places in the world all happening at once. I don't think that Germany's faced a million people knocking on its door every month of the year since, 1980. This is a phenomenon. And again, I don't think it was dealt with very well. I don't think we were prepared to deal with it. And, we're having a collapse of nation states in Central America right now. These people don't know where to go. I don't know that they should come to the U.S., but I think they deserve a hearing when they get here.
Well, Bruce, I agree with that. And also, I think in behalf of American workers, I think we should go back to the process as it was 20, 30 years ago when you applied to come in. Now, if the people are escaping, there has to be some place where they can be in like a holding area, not coming directly to America to be on the taxpayers. It's a problem. It's a real problem. Now, if people in the restaurant industry or the harvest industry, the farms and whatever, need workers, let those people then apply at this holding area to see if this farmer or this person would like to welcome them to come work for them. That's a guest worker type.
We need a proper guest worker program so that they can apply under some law like that. We need guest worker programs, and the border needs to be tightened up. I don't believe in a wall, by the way. I think that there's modern technology using drones, helicopters, and everything else that would absolutely obviate the need for a wall. But,
I think that wall is proposed is as much as a statement as it is anything else. Trump, our president, has this strong inner feeling. He has a lot of strong inner feelings, but he has one where he's so dead set against doing exactly what he promised to get elected. And he is doing those things as we look at how he deals with foreign forces, how he deals with the tariffs and immigration. I mean, he said from the get-go, we have to stop the immigration and take a deep breath, set up a policy that works, and then get back to business of being the melting pot of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Welcome, Bruce. This is Mark. How you doing, Bruce?
Hello, Mark.
Where is it 111 degrees, Bruce?
It was in Waco on Monday, I think.
just curious. But I like what you're saying. I mean, we neglected this so long, so, you know, Trump pays the price now, but it has to have attention. It reminds me of the controls that I put in my business. If I control all my people when they get my I got a dispenser that they got to push their name and number in to get grinding discs or welding tips or usables, or everything's controlled, and you need controls, and I think we all agree on that. And different systems have to be set up for different things, but you have to follow the controls. It is common sense, and I think it has to be attacked now.
When I came over here, my employer had to put out an advertisement in the local press and in the regional press for 6 weeks advertising my job, and he interviewed for them. And, could somebody else have done the job that I was coming? Perhaps, but I had a particular couple of skills that he needed, so it was that easy. And, you know, I had to go through extensive interviews, and, I had some amusing experiences. The embassy asked me to produce my fingerprints, so I went to an English police station where I lived, and I said, could you take my fingerprints, please? And they said, what have you done? I said, nothing. They said, we're not going to take your fingerprints. I said, why? He said, well, punch me on the nose, and then I'll take your fingerprints.
Unbelievable. You know, Bruce, what's happening?
The British police do not take fingerprints at random.
You know, Bruce, and everybody, this is the biggest problem as I speak to people. They don't like the fact that America's government is taxing us for one thing, and then taking the dollars and pushing it to address all of these wall problems, the stopping the people at the borders and things like that. We really have to go back to a situation where you come to legally to the country,
yeah,
not illegally, period. No, people in all around the world should be told you're not expecting to go to America unless you're legally invited.
Yeah, because the people that do it the correct way, it pisses them off. I mean, it's trouble. You got to go through the process, and you've got to want to go through it the right way.
And it also has hurt people coming here or wanting to come applying legally, because we're so overwhelmed with additional workers. It's hurting American workers, number one, and it's hurting those who are applying legally to come to the country, because we have them coming legally, we have them coming through the back door, and then we have the American workers who are saying, I don't want any of these people here because they're going to take the jobs that I have and my family has, because things are getting better. Why can't we allow it to get better for a while before we bring in more people?
That's probably true, yeah. You know, I hear Larkin saying he might have employed aliens. Even when I started my own company as my own employee, I had to provide papers to show I was a legal alien. Not an illegal alien. So, I mean, it should be easy to do, but it's apparently not.
You know, I went to a seminar recently, and they made some very good suggestions at that seminar to me and to others there. It was government organizations and businesses should do at least a 3-year plan. Mark, do you agree with that? I mean, you have to know where you're going so you know what to plan for. An organization just can't exist on the money they take in today. They have to look into other ways to fund themselves. A business can't expect to live just on the customers that they have today, because if one drops out, then you're stuck with no customer. And the same thing with the government. The government has to look for ways to cut, not to continue to demand more tax dollars from the people. And with the tax cuts that are happening right now, and hopefully they'll be able to continue them forever, we will see some positive changes, because Now people feel, well, there's less regulation. I'll stay and I'll expand. There are less taxes. I'll give me some opportunity to modernize and do some things that I need to make my business more of a success. The next thing I'd like to really see happen, which we talked about during last week's program and the program before that, is why can't we give tax breaks to the companies that are bringing in people and training them for the jobs that they have open?
Well, that's a good idea. You know, I think that there should be additional tax breaks for very small businesses, because they're still, even at the lower rate now, they're still higher than they need to be. And I think that some of the larger corporations don't deserve some of the tax breaks they got in the recent thing. So I think that small businesses deserve a much better break than they're getting. There's still too few people starting small businesses these days, and I'm not exactly sure of the reason why. Some of it's got to do with millennialism. You know, I've got three clients right now that I'm helping who's starting their own business, and they're all making products here in the U.S., which I think is wonderful.
Wonderful. And, you know, Mark, I think Mark had to leave us because he's going on a bus group visit. But I want to say that...
He's going on walkabout, are you, Mark?
I like the idea of the three-year plan. Because with the three-year plan, you have some idea. Give you an example of something that I experienced in the last 2 years with the phone company. Every few months, they keep raising the rate. They were raising the rate. Now it's, you know, stabled in the last, say, 3 months. But they kept raising the rate. It's the federal tax for the air, this... And where does a business get these extra dollars? Exactly where do you expect a business to all of a sudden come up with another $20, $30, $50 a month if they're a big business? It's the same thing. Where were these politicians thinking that they could just all of a sudden tax this or that? Water tax. We need this. We need to tax toilet seats pretty soon. I mean, it's going to get to that point, too, if we don't put a stop to it. So the government should also, it would be something for our president to propose, not only the State of the Union and the budget plan, but how about a three-year plan? This is what I'm asking the Congress to do during the next 3 years. What do you think of that idea, Larkin?
Well, you know, yes. But the issue is that Congress will take that and just argue politically about why it stinks. 4 months later, the same thing is proposed by the opposite party, and the same argument comes up. They've just traded positions in arguing. That's the beauty of Trump. There's a lot of non-beauty about Trump, and I'm not going to argue about any of that. But the fact of the matter is that what he does is smart. We're going to show a growth rate of 4.5%. We haven't seen that since the dot-com era. There are more minorities working now than ever in the history of the country. North Korea is dismantling their missile capabilities.
We don't want to ring that bell till they've actually dismantled Larkin.
Say it again?
I said we don't want to ring that bell till they've actually done some dismantling.
Well, no, I'm not going to ring the bell, but the fact that the press finds it in their best interest to criticize all the way to the bitter end just shakes me up.
Yeah, and also, Larkin and Bruce, we can't expect miracles overnight. This is a process. It's like are some of the schools in America. They're saying we would like to reinstate the trade programs in the schools, but do you realize the amount of money that we're going to have to put into those programs? Also, another problem that the school boards have been discussing is there are very few teachers out there now willing and able to teach these programs to the children in the schools, the youth in the schools, because they're making better money being out on their own as contractors and all, and don't have to follow a regular school day and homework and, you know, explaining something to a student two, three, four times. They're running their business. But I do think it's time to pull in some of these business people to go into the classroom and retrain new teachers who have the get up and go to get these trades back in the schools.
It's needed. And I wish I could say that we're the only people in the world that have recognized this and are, you know, including it in our narrative. But, everybody's talking about that now. Everybody.
And Larkin, it should have been back. It should have been back 25 years ago when they started to dismantle them. People should have gotten an uproar and said, how can we dismantle something that's going to benefit our youth in the future? Not everyone is going to college. How about the people who want to be in heating and air conditioning and electricity and all of the other trades? Where are they going to work, and why should they pay additional to go to after graduation programs when they could be available in the schools? Bringing in all these immigrants to the schools has also been a problem.
I'll tell you, it's you know, I've said this before to you. Monday morning quarterbacking, your vision is 20/20 when you look behind. And we can sit and criticize. It's obviously some a mistake that was made by congressmen at that time, congressmen and women at that time. And now all we got to do is fix it. The pragmatic person in me says, that's fine. They blew it. They know they blew it. The big box companies were looking at nothing but their bottom line and wanted to bring in widgets that otherwise would cost twice that to be made in America so that they could sell a lot of widgets and make a lot of money. So we're over that. What we need to talk about now is how do you fix it?
The big issue is also is that American companies decided that their multinationalism was more important to them than doing business over here. And as I've said before, you can go over to Europe, you can go over to England. 40% of the products in British stores are American brands, especially at the grocery store. 30% of the cars sold in Britain are sold under the name of Ford, as they are elsewhere. And you know, American companies are all over the place in the world, branded. Now, they make the stuff over there, yes, but the money still comes home. Some of the money does anyway. And we've got, German companies who build cars over here. You know, we can't abandon internationalism altogether. If we do that, we will sink as a country.
Oh, no. No one is saying we have to be isolationist by any means. What we're saying, we have to look out for America. You have to look out for your house. If your house blew off, you're not expecting your neighbor to come over and replace your roof. You have to be concerned about your own house. You have to run government as a business would be run. Larkin said something a few weeks ago, which I thought was good, and I got some good responses from people. Maybe it is time, Larkin, for state governors to be the main people going to Washington, working with the president and working with all the departments that help fund the states.
Bruce, let me review my proposal. It was actually 2 weeks ago, and that is all members of the House of Representatives and all members of the Senate elected officials go home and stay home. Don't leave Maryland to come to Washington, D.C. We don't need you in Washington, D.C. What will come to Washington, D.C. is the governor from every state. And they will have 2-3 month respites in Washington, like February, March, and April, September, October, and November. And in those 6 month period, they will vote on all of the issues that needed to be voted on. And by the way, I'm going to leave the congressmen and congresswomen and senators at home to be reelected every time, but they report to the governor. And the governor actually takes a lot of what they're doing on, you know, that you're still representing the people in North Pittsburgh with a congressman that got elected by them, but he doesn't go anywhere. He stays in his district. He works his district, and he reports his needs, wants, to the governor, who goes to Washington 6 months a year. I love it. I love it.
Larkin, that was wonderful, and people told me they loved it. You know why? That's a term limit right off the bat. Most governors don't go past 8 years. And hearing, by the way, directly from the governor's office, he's the highest elected official by the people to do their work, to be the guy in between yes or no.
Wouldn't that require a constitutional amendment?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The same people who vote on their own salaries, their own benefits, their own retirement, their own hospital plan. I just want that for the next 5 years. Because if I can select my own wages, how I'm going to be paid, when and where I need to be, when I can pass all of that on my own vote, well, who doesn't want that?
Yeah, I mean, it's it's a very radical thought.
Now, those people who are elected as state congressmen and senators, they can go to Washington a few times a year to help put the votes in after the governors made the major proposals.
Right.
That's something like that. There should be a little bit of a change in that because right now, I would say 90% of the people who are in Washington are being paid to be there. Number one, they're paid their housing and all the other things that are necessary to keep a person there. And the caucuses, which maybe are 20 people out of the whole House of Representatives and maybe 10 people out of the Senate, are really doing the behind-the-closed-door work. So the other people are there at the call of the speakers to be there for the vote. I think that the governor should do this and then bring the congressmen and senators in there to make the final vote, but not have them that involved in preparing the legislation, because the governors are supposed to know day to day, hour to hour, what happens in their states.
That's true. Very true.
I'm not that concerned about that. I think they're totally capable of dealing. And remember now, they're going to have congressional and senatorial level help. And there's I forget the number, but Pennsylvania has 38 congressmen.
Right.
Well, they still elect them. They probably, if they don't do anything outside of their own district, it probably won't be a 12-month job. I remember as a kid when Tom Colley, who was our local state senator, went to Harrisburg to pass legislation. It was a part-time job.
Well, it's a good point, Larkin. And I think today with modern communications and all, it should be returned as a part-time job.
You know, the Texas legislature only meets once every 3 years, I think.
Whose legislature?
Texas.
Texas.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
They only meet once every 3 years, I think.
Yeah, it's a very infrequent, and what they make as a rule when they get together, that sticks iron. It's ironclad until they meet again to make any changes. Nobody makes any kind of variations in between,
right,
which is exactly what we need to do on a federal level. If that was done, we would see more issues put on the table, voted upon by the highest ranking officials of the state, the states, the governors. The president could be more involved. He could be in the room with 50 governors, and they could come to more of an agreement than 535 people in both sides of the chamber in Washington, which has not been very good in the last 50 years.
They haven't really gotten a thing done, except passed a whole bunch of meaningless legislation. It's really just that simple. And their congressional hearings are a joke. They're a joke. They are theater at its best. And every congressional member of Congress that sits in those is moved by the need to say something that nobody else said and see how nasty you can say it to make whoever you're interviewing mad. It's nuts.
You know, Larkin, I'd like you to contact some of the national media, maybe contact Fox and CNN, and make your proposal known. Let's see what they would have to say about it. I mean, it would require some changes to the way things are done today and the way their laws are written. But I think the American taxpayer would feel that their people, their governors, are being more accountable to them rather than 38 congressmen in this state and 26 in the next. I agree with that, Larkin.
The only problem is that they would want to elect me president. And I really, for two reasons, that would be a bad idea. First of all, I don't have that kind of time. And second of all, I would make Donald Trump look like Abraham Lincoln. So, on both counts, hey, listen, I think you ought to probably avoid that.
I have the ultimate solution. We need a queen again here and parliamentary government. And then you can throw them out whenever you feel like it.
Yeah, I, you know, something. And by the way, even as far as education in America, those people in Washington have done nothing to help the education system. They've hurt, in fact, with all these new education departments and all. You know, they're not. That should have been addressed in Washington, that they were dropping the skill programs in our schools. That should have been addressed 30 years ago when it first began to happen. There used to be programs where if you were attending one school, you could spend 2 days a week at another school, a trade school. They would bus you over. None of that's happening to the degree it should. Our population has gone up so much, and yet the programs have dropped to almost non-existent. And the people there really should, the parents should be speaking up. But who do they speak up to? Which congressman? Which state representative? I think it's time to have the people start pushing it on the governor's lap. Start asking the governor, where is the money for education in any county in the state of Pennsylvania or New Jersey? Where is that money going toward helping our boys and girls get the proper education that'll help them have their abilities, whether it's going to be a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, or someone who's working on heating and air conditioning?
There you go.
I also don't want to make a comment that addresses my sexuality, but I would love to be the queen of the United States.
Well, you know, we people laugh.
I'm Irish, I would love it too. We'd have so much fun because I'd be your Lord Chancellor.
Now, here's the question, Bruce, because people often talk about what exactly does the Queen do these days? Does she have a chance to make any rules and regs and laws over there?
Well, you know, you have in this country everything down to the dog catcher is politicized because you elect them. And in Britain, the Queen gives us the opportunity to have so many institutions that don't report to her but are in her name, like our entire justice system, our entire armed forces, and huge swathes of English life are non-political. Up until 2004, when the police arrested somebody and wanted to prosecute them, there was no such thing as a district attorney. The police had to go and find a lawyer to represent them, the police, against the prosecutor. And that lawyer could have been a defender 3 weeks earlier in another case. And that's the way it was for 100 years. So in 2004, under Tony Blair, they decided to copy the American system of having prosecutors, and they have them in lots of other countries. So the Crown Prosecution Service was inaugurated. But again, it's non-political. The attorneys that prosecute don't have an angle to get elected. They are appointed. And to me, that's fairer. Although we did emulate America on one end of it by creating prosecution services or the equivalent of a district attorney, they are completely non-political.
Bruce, I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
If you came to America in the last 2 or 3 years and you listened to the news stations, any of the news stations, where would you think you could best rest your hat? In the Democrat side, the Republican side, or in the independent side of our process?
I'd be an independent in a heartbeat. That's the side I'd be on. And I've always felt that way. And, I think there should be a third party, to be honest.
Oh, I always said that, and people say, well, you're out of your tree. But I always feel there should be a third party able to be funded and with the legitimacy of the other two parties. That way people said to me, well, why do you want a third party? I said, well, if you have just two parties at the table and one of the two picks up and walks out, you have nobody to talk to. But if you have three parties, you still have two people able to discuss.
Yeah, that's, I don't know that that'd ever happen, but I'm not opposed to a third party. But, there's lots to learn from around the world about how people do things. Certainly, a lot of things in Europe have copied America. They shouldn't be afraid to copy things that Europeans do. That's my opinion. But, I live in a very conservative state, and I'm very happy to live here. I lived in California for a while and wasn't very happy to live there.
Right. Well, Larkin, let me ask you that question. If you were here as a brand new American, you got your citizenship and you were ready to register to vote, which of the three would you want to be most affiliated with, the Democrats, the Republicans, or the independents?
Well, it depends on what point in my life you ask me that question. But I've worked very hard to try to not allow a single listener to be able to turn the program off and say, that Larkin is one hell of a Republican. I love the way he thinks. Because I think that, to some degree, can be harmful. But, allow it to be said because anybody can investigate it and prove it, substantiate it. I was for a long, long time, and still am, a card-carrying Republican. I believe in the Republican ethic. I believe in just about every level of the Republican platform except stem cells. And that's about it. I mean, period, amen. I don't share the concerns that most Republicans share using stem cells. I think it's a marvelous way to heal, I think, and yet unproven in many respects. But I don't think it, you know, that I think they're like the NRA. They support, or the lack of support of stem cells is there because they think, well, if we allow them to do stem cells tomorrow, it's going to be abortions. And, you know, no abortions. So, you know, there's certainly a unique and powerful difference between the two parties. Unfortunately, right now, neither one of them is sure exactly what their identity is, and neither one of them is exposing any of us to the smallest modicum of leadership. Mm-hmm. We are so lacking in leadership. It's just, this country has never been in a low spot like this.
Now, let me ask you something, Larkin, and also Bruce. If the President Trump, or president whoever, went to the Democrats, the Republicans, and the independents and said, I want to mandate that the schools educate the boys and girls in the trade programs, which party do you think would respond?
Well, that's a kind of a no-brainer. I would think that even the Democrats, who can be pretty stupid at times, and so can many of the Republicans. So let me make sure that's a nonpartisan remark. I don't know that they would know what to do with that because it's good news.
But the problem is, Larkin, my purpose of asking you the question is, why did it take Trump, or why would it take Trump to do that? Where was Obama? Where was Bush? Where was Clinton? Where were all the other programs to say, hey, guys, as national elected leaders, we have to do something to get these boys and girls trained for the modern skills of today?
Trump hasn't said anything about it yet.
I'm sorry?
I said Trump hasn't said anything about that yet.
Well, I'm saying this is something that should have been said for years, but we've been wasting so much of our time. When I hear that 6 million jobs are open right now in America and we don't have the qualified people to fill those jobs right now, and that's why some of these companies are asking for these special visas to be honored so these people could come and fill these jobs, that's really disappointing. It's disgusting, in fact.
No question. And I think it's on the lips of most, if not every, politician in this country right now. They know that we need to get back to developing a blue-collar society, which, by the way, that doesn't in one iota of a manner indicate to me that it's better to be white collar than blue collar.
Larkin, as we come closer to the end of our program, you're right. And I want to tell you this, that many of the people that I meet that are touring historic Philadelphia, when I ask them about what they do and what they, many people love that they're in manufacturing. Many people tell me they would not want to be in leadership's position to have to be concerned with, you know, grievances of employees and vacation times and all this stuff. They rather just be able to do their job and be paid and do a job well and be paid well for it.
Well, I agree with that. But back when political correctness started, you know, that they said housewife was really, you know, just not a very nice term. These women are domestic engineers.
Or homemakers is another term.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it just...
Henry's laughing over here, domestic engineers.
Yeah,
I love it.
Listen, one thing I've got to tell you, Michael, go on my website, Uniformology, www.uniformology.com. I've just done a nice series on Polish uniforms.
Oh, very good.
For the Duchy of Warsaw, Napoleonic uniforms. There you go.
Very nice. Very nice. Oh, make sure you email me the site, and I'll try to get it out, because we have a lot of people interested in this era of history. Yes. Especially at this time, they're marking the 100th anniversary of the regained independence of Poland back in 1918. So, I mean, that's a very interesting point. There is a young gentleman who's part of our team over here who is very interested in uniforms. In fact, he's part of a reenactment group. I'd like him to see it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you, we had a good broadcast today. I want to say thank you to Larkin Conley, Mark Andel, and to Bruce Bassett Powell for being with us today. It was a pleasure. We're talking common sense. Some of the things that were said today, people will be talking about and saying to themselves, why aren't these things happening in America? Maybe the governor should be more vocal. And by the way, why aren't the governors petitioning the president for more things? Why are they so in the distant? I don't understand it. And the leadership in both the House and the Senate, the way it is now, they should be reporting to their people, not hiding behind closed doors. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I want to wish you and yours the very best. Please go out and look for those American-made labels. Support American-made as much as you can. Stay well and be happy until we meet again. Thank you.
And as Bain would say, thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. Okay. Good. Best wishes all.
Searching for an old church steeple, where inside you'll find people who live their lives unashamed and ain't afraid to say God's name out loud.